Let us pray together. Lord God, help us turn our hearts to you and hear what you will speak, for you speak peace to your people. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 to 35. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children."
Hi, where's it? Come, Holland. Holland, I'm so excited because your shirt has the word I'm going to talk about today. I can't believe it.
I've got a red truck.
You do? Well, that's great. I love the color red, and I love your truck. Come, come sit with us. Oh, I love that.
You like the color pink?
I love the color pink. I love all colors, actually. So it's so good to see. How's everybody?
The truck's name is Mac.
Great name for a truck. So anyway, how's everybody today? Guess what? I'm going to talk about what I was going to talk about last week. And even though this special day was this week, I think this day should be every day. What special day was this week? Holland's shirt tells us it. What?
Sunday.
Oh, it is Sunday. It's such a special
Valentine's
day. It was
day.
Valentine's Day. I love Valentine's Day. You know what Valentine's Day is about?
Getting chocolate.
Well, yeah, get chocolate. That's for sure. That's a good thing about that day. What? Giving people that you love things, right? Letting them know how much you love them. I think Valentine's Day should be every day, don't you? I do. I think every day we should tell everybody how much we love them. And you know, we're so lucky to be loved. I love that feeling of love. Isn't it great to be loved? Moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, cousins, teachers, everybody. Oh, why don't you come sit right here by Mrs. Weiss? I have something special in my bag when we're all done. I think you're going to want to see it. Sit right here. Oh, thank you. And I think I just love being loved, you know, by everyone. And then when I grew up, I met Mr. Weiss. Oh, how I love Mr. Weiss. Then I had my sons, how I love my sons. And all of you, Holland and Brandon and Brett and Henry over there and all the friends here, you're my family. Did you know that? And you know why? Because God made us family, because God is love. That's what the Bible tells us. And we love because he loved us first. Sometimes it's not easy to love everybody, is it? Some people aren't as lovable, but we have to remember that God made all of us, and he wants us to show people how much we love them. How can we show people how we love them? I know a great way.
Giving them chocolate.
You could give them chocolate. That's a great idea. What about you, Brett?
Giving them a card.
Giving them a card. What else? How about a beautiful, happy face? Can I see smiles on everybody? Oh, I love those. Look, Henry's giving me one right now. What else? You throwing a kiss? Throw a kiss. Throw a kiss to everybody. Throw a hug. Those are ways we can show everybody that we love them, right? So, in one second. So we love because God first loved us. Oh, thank you, Henry. Wait, I have something in my bag. First, I want to show you. Then I have something for you, and we're all done. You want to sit right here by me? Come, right here. Hold on. I'm going to show everybody what I love.
I know what it is.
So what is this? A heart. But look what's on this side of my heart. What's on this side of my heart?
It's the cross.
Who was on the cross?
God,
Jesus. God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to die for us, to be our Savior. Is that like the greatest love of all? So we love because he first loved us. Who knows the song, Jesus Loves Me? Do you know that? Do you know Jesus Loves Me? Jesus loves me, this I know. Who knows that?
No.
Oh, yeah. You do? You want to sing it together? Let's see if we can sing it with everybody. We're going to have all the friends join us. Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Sing nice for me. Yes, Jesus, thank you. Loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He sure does. Thank you. Let's pray together. We're going to pray, though. I'll let you 1 second. Let's pray. We're going to fold hands. We're going to pray first. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for all these wonderful, wonderful friends that are here. Thank you that we love because you first loved us. And help us to show your love to everyone we meet, even when it's hard, even when people and friends might not be so easy to love, because we know they need to know your love. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now wait, I have something about love to give to all of you today, too. I have a heart. A lollipop. Whoa, it's a lollipop heart. So every time you look at this, remember, we love because God loved us so much. He loved us so much, and he wants us to show our love for others. Okay, thanks, friends. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for being such great
listeners.
Say thank you. Okay, thank you. Oh, you did. You sang so nice in the microphone.
I think Henry did get a lollipop, but it's found its way into someone else's hands. I'll just put that there for safekeeping. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's fun to think about Valentine's Day and the kinds of gifts we might receive. I sometimes wonder about our expectations around Valentine's Day, especially for you ladies. Have you ever been disappointed?
No.
On Valentine's Day? Of course not. No one in here. No one on here. I've been disappointed before by things, not necessarily on Valentine's Day. The year was 1999. And the first Star Wars movie to come out in 17 years was going to be in the theater. The last Star Wars movie to come out had come out when I was like 1 year old, so I had never seen one in the movie theaters before. So the anticipation was great. It was so exciting. You know, people were dressed up in, you know, Darth Vader costumes, and they had lightsabers, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about right now, I'm really sorry. And then the movie started, you know, the opening scroll goes, and everyone is very excited, and yet disappointing. What a terrible movie. It was awful. It was nothing like you might expect. It was all about politics and trade federations, and all you want is just a good starfight, and you barely even get that. You expect something so great, and yet you're disappointed because it doesn't live up to your expectations. Have you ever been disappointed before? Spring training started this week in baseball. And the baseball season is one long season of disappointment for all fans but fans of one team. It starts out so great, right? The Mets have a starting rotation that guarantees that they're going to be in the World Series this year. And yet, injuries happen. Things fall through, players fail to live up to expectations, and the season ends in disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed before? What are your expectations when you come into a church on a Sunday morning? You might expect that you're going to sing some songs that are familiar to you. You're going to hear a sermon that's uplifting and relevant to your life. And yet sometimes we're honest with ourselves, and if I'm honest with myself, we go to church expecting something that fails to deliver. We're disappointed. We're disappointed by what happens. Sometimes I think our disappointment even flows over into our expectations of God and what God is going to do for us. Have you ever been disappointed by something that happened in your life that you think perhaps God might have had something to do with? Our gospel lesson from Luke this morning starts with some disciples of John the Baptist coming to talk with Jesus. Now, why doesn't John himself come to talk with Jesus? Well, as we learned clear back in chapter 4, John the Baptist is in prison. John has been arrested for speaking out against King Herod and the things that King Herod has done, the way he's conducted his life. John is a prophet. And one of the byproducts of being a prophet is that when you speak out against the powers that be, there can be negative effects. So John isn't able to come to Jesus himself because he is in prison. And yet, what is the message that Jesus has proclaimed? Does anyone remember from Luke chapter 4 when Jesus stands up in his home synagogue on that Saturday morning or afternoon to proclaim from the prophet Isaiah? He says, the Lord has anointed me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, sight to the blind, release for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And here John sits in prison, wondering when release of the prisoners is going to happen. So John sends his disciples to ask Jesus a question. Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Or should we be waiting for someone else? Are you the one that I proclaim, John asks, out in the wilderness? Or should we be waiting for someone else to come along? I can't help but think that John asks this question out of a real sense of wondering, which is maybe a different idea about John than we often come up with, right? We often think that John is this person of tremendous faith. He's out in the wilderness. He's boldly proclaiming, you know, what God is doing, proclaiming this good news, pointing the way toward Jesus. And yet here's John with very human doubts because of the situation that he finds himself in. I can imagine John perhaps imagined that he and Jesus were going to kind of be in a buddy comedy of some sort, right? That they were going to be going out together. That he would be pointing the way to Jesus, that he would sort of be the opening act to what Jesus was going to do. He would be the hype man, in essence. But yet here he is, in prison, separated, not able to see with his own eyes the things that Jesus is doing. So he sends his disciples to ask, are you the one that we're supposed to be waiting for, or should we wait for someone else? Jesus' reply, the blind are receiving their sight. The poor are being lifted up. The dead are being raised. Pointing back to all of the miracles that Jesus has done in Luke's gospel up to this point, that we've heard about to this point. And yet Jesus has a sense that perhaps he is disappointing people. I read somewhere, I don't remember who said it now, that leadership is disappointing people at a rate that they are able to withstand. People have all of these expectations of Jesus. They've heaped all of their hopes and dreams about what it is to be the Messiah on Jesus. And in some cases, he's living up to it. People are being healed. People are being fed. The good news is being proclaimed. People are learning about God's ways, about the way that God works. And yet, the Roman Empire is still the Roman Empire. The people are still not living under their own home rule. They continue to be oppressed by Roman authorities on one hand and religious authorities on the other hand. They're looking for some proof that Jesus is who he says he is. And yet Jesus points out to them that their expectations are wrong. That they don't like what John does, because John, he's out in the wilderness, his hair is unkempt, he's not eating, he doesn't drink any alcohol, he's out there and he's strange, he's up on his soapbox, he's proclaiming to all of these people. But they accuse him of being possessed by a demon because of these things. And then here comes Jesus. He hangs out with sinners. He eats. He drinks. He's a normal person. And they accuse him of being a glutton and a drunkard. He's offending people's expectations left and right. And people are looking for some proof of what's what's really happening here. They're looking for some proof of God. Have you ever been disappointed? Because if you haven't, I can guarantee that you know someone who has. That you know someone who has tried to put their faith in God and found that God didn't live up to their expectations. When you sit on airplanes, when you sit next to people on buses and trains, when you're having conversations with people out in the world, you find all kinds of stories of disappointment, especially when someone hears you're a pastor. They either clam up and apologize for the things that they've already said that they wish they could take back, or they want to explain to you how God hasn't lived up to their expectations. In either case, our world is looking for that proof. They're looking for that proof that God exists, that Jesus is who he claims to be. And they're looking for it whether they know it or not. And the burden is on us, as those who have staked our lives to this good news. Those of us who are living examples of the way that God has shown faithfulness in our lives. Many of us have been through it. We've been pushed right to the edge of our faith and have hung on, clawing to hold on to that faith. Those are the stories that our world needs to hear. Those are the experiences that our friends and loved ones need to be aware of. They need to know that there is forgiveness available to them, even them, regardless of the bad things that they've done. And they can experience that forgiveness through our stories, the bad things that we've done, the ways that we've felt disappointed in the past. One of the very first statements of faith in Jesus that we have in Scripture comes from a synagogue leader whose daughter is dying or is already dead. And Jesus says, if you have faith, she can be healed. And he says, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. When our expectations of God are not met by our own lofty standards, when we feel as if we are abandoned, can we make that our cry of faith? I believe. Help my unbelief. Can we teach that to our world as a faith statement? Something not as complicated as the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or the 150 questions and answers of the Heidelberg Catechism, but instead, simple words. I believe. Help my unbelief. It is in these words that we find that Jesus does help our unbelief. That when we acknowledge that who we hope Jesus is might be different than who Jesus actually is, when we acknowledge that the lives that we have lived seemingly in faith have perhaps been according to our own standards rather than according to God's standard, and when we confess that we have faith and yet simultaneously we doubt, that's something that God can work with. That in itself is a marker of faith in our lives. I believe, help my unbelief. This is the proof of God that our world is looking for. And it's through our testimonies, through the sharing of our faith and our faith experiences, expressing to the world that we're not perfect people, that we don't always believe perfectly, and yet God is still active in our lives and is active in their lives too, even when they don't see it. Let's take a minute to close our eyes and think about what our next steps will be as a result of God's word this morning. God of grace, we do believe, and yet at times we also doubt. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your presence in our lives. We doubt ourselves. Give us opportunities, Lord, to reflect on your presence in our midst. Help us to see those times when you have clearly been with us so that we in turn can share those times with others. Lord, you have called us to be your faithful witnesses in the world, to shine your light into the dark corners of our world. And so we ask you, Lord, for the courage to live our lives as children of light. Help us to know what to expect of you, Lord, so that we can live our lives free of that disappointment. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in words more abundant than "I believe, help my unbelief"? The words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.